Amen. Well, it is a joy, amen, to be back in the Lord's house. Amen. We sure appreciate the pastor giving us the liberty to come back by and give an update on the ministry. Be with you folks. We always look forward to it. I got to confess to you, this morning we left the house and I headed toward Pickens. And we was talking about looking forward to getting to come up here, and my wife says, well, why are we going this way? And it dawned on me, I was headed the wrong direction. I had to turn around and backtrack about 5 miles. But anyway, thank the Lord. Now, that's why, Brother Zurich, when you get a little older, you'll appreciate your wife a whole lot more. Amen. She's my memory bank, Vicki is. And so when I lose something and I misplace something, she usually knows where it's at. And we praise the Lord for that. Well, anyway, this year ministry, wise, it's 37 years now, Victory Baptist Press, printing the Word of God, supplying around the world. Praise the Lord for that. We have got an ongoing thing right now. We've got a container load of Cebuana Bibles sitting over in the Philippines. It's cleared customs, and I think it's 18,320 of these in the container. The missionary, Brother Wiley, is trying to get some paperwork for the customs people. They apparently need some kind of a letter to prove that he's a legal church. And isn't that strange? It's happening all around the world where governments are trying to regulate the church and decide whether it's illegal or illegal or whatever. So anyway, he's trying to get the paperwork finished. Pray for that project if you would. It's printed on the boat or off the boat, going through customs. All the duties are paid, and they're just waiting for a piece of paper to be handed to him so those Bibles will go out and be in his hand and he can get started putting those out for the Lord. And it's all going to come together. We know that. But anyhow, that project is, we count it ongoing until it's actually at the missionary's property. And so that project is ongoing as we speak. There in the print shop, we just finished up printing. It was 185,000 or either 195,000 English John and Romans with the patriotic flag on it. And those are there in the print shop. I don't have a Spanish John and Roman, but we printed the same amount in Spanish. Those are there at the print shop being collated and binded. They're working through those right now. Of course, they're going out to whoever asked for it. We ordered paper on Thursday there at the print shop, another truckload of paper, and that'll be coming here in the near future, and we'll be starting another project for South America. This will be our sixth project for South America, doing 25,000 of these Spanish Bibles. And Brother Don Rich, the last load that we got down there, I want to say, I believe I'm right, 5 weeks. 5 weeks, they were all gone, the last load. And so the first shipment way back yonder when we started shipping Bibles into Brother Rich there, I think it took him like 16 months to get the whole container over with. This time, 5 weeks, it's over. It's empty. And anyway, he's, of course, getting them in all nine of the Spanish-speaking countries down in South America. And the missionaries down there are the pastors, national pastors, knowing who's got them and where to get them. They're making their request. And so as soon as we get the container to him, the demand is already there. And they just go right out the door. Praise the Lord. We don't want any seed in the barn. Amen. Hey, listen, when Trump blows, we leave out of here. It wouldn't bother us if, hey, listen, everything that was printed was in somebody's hand. Amen. And anyhow, that project is ongoing. And then this year, I'll back up just a minute here. Last year we did a project for Africa, Uganda, Africa. Brother Tony Stark labored 30 plus years over there in Uganda, planting churches, Bible institutes, and all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, he wanted us to print these cards, and so as you can see, it's the cross going over the abyss to the celestial city. We did 1,080,000 of these cards for him. We did it in 9 different languages, and we shipped them over to Brother Tony. They've been really successful. They're using these in like 4 or 5 different countries right around Uganda as well. Rwanda, just right off the side of Uganda, they're using these cards in. And anyway, whenever the COVID lockdown started coming in, Brother Fleur, director of our ministry, Brother Jim, he got this burden about, well, we can't ship it to overseas, because it was a real question. Who's going to open the ports? Who's going to let the scripture come in? And so, anyway, we said, we'll just need to do a project for the United States. And so we revised the card, and we started doing this and providing it to people, to churches all over the country. And, of course, on the back of it is Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, Matthew 16, 26, Revelation 21, 8, 2 Peter 3, 9, John 3, 16 through 18. But also on the back, it's got that QR code. And that QR code, of course, lets it go to a website where there's a presentation of the gospel, okay? And so we've been doing these and supplying these to churches all over. And then we decided, well, maybe we ought to do these not just as a gospel track, but we ought to do them as an EDM card. And so this is an EDM card, Every Door Direct Mail. Pardon me. Every Door Direct Mail. And anyway, it's all set up like the postal services would want. And churches that want that EDM card, and they've got a willingness to set up somewhere where there's a presentation of the gospel, we'll create a QR code for them. And anyway, provide those free of charges to the churches. Now, it costs about 18 cents to mail it, okay? Now, Vicki and I, we live in 6 Mile. We wanted to send a card to everybody in 6 Mile, so we used Mile Creek Baptist Church to send it through. But that's 16,500 and something cards covered the town of 6 Mile. Amen? So we put the gospel in everybody's address. Hallelujah. And did I say 16,000? I'm sorry, 1,600. 6 Mile ain't got that big yet. I'm sorry, 1,600. Okay. But anyway, I don't think the county of Pickens has got about 20,000 in it. So. But here's something that's exciting about this right here is an EDM card that we're doing custom for. It's the Silicon Valley Chinese Baptist Church. Now, this missionary spent a number of years, 20-something plus years, in communist China, planting churches, winning souls, got ran off. Communist Chinese government run him off. He had to leave. Started praying, Lord, where do you want me to go when I have to go back to the States? So the Lord put him in Silicon Valley, okay? That's the largest Chinese population in America, outside of China. The largest Chinese population anywhere outside of China. And so anyway, he come to our print shop, translated this thing into Mandarin Chinese, and we've started printing these. And last week, the first 5,000 of these went to Chinese addresses, homes in Silicon Valley. There's, if I understand it correctly, there's right at 60,000 Chinese people living in Silicon Valley. So that's a good project, and we're going to be doing those like 5,000 at a click, send them to him. He'll do the distribution. We got churches taking it on as a missions project where they can't send a missionary to China. They can sure send the gospel to somebody's house, amen. And so and if the folks respond to the gospel, there's a church right there near them that they can go to. And so praise the Lord, those projects are ongoing there. Still working on trying to plant those churches there in the country of Rwanda. There, and I talked about that the last time we was here, there at Victory Baptist Church, trying to plant 10 churches in the country of Rwanda, working through Brother Tony Stark again. I think 5 of those churches are up and running now, and the others have been spotted as far as the location of the properties, and money's been raised to try to go toward purchasing those projects, those properties, and putting up buildings and stuff like that. And so anyway, that's an ongoing thing there at the ministry. Quick update on Vicki and I. Of course, y'all get our prayer letters. Anyway, 2020, just like for y'all, been an unusual year. But praise be, and everything, give thanks. Amen. I'm trying my best to stay positive. It's easy enough for me to be negative. Amen, Miss Vicki? But anyhow, try my best to stay positive. And Romans 8:28 still in the book. Ain't nothing changed there. And so anyhow, we're gonna go into 2021 with an attitude that the Lord's going to bless. He's going to honor His word. And anyhow, He's going to accomplish what he sends it to do. Amen. And well, I'm telling you, being nervous for the service is not going to do me any good, nor you. He's able. He is certainly able. 2020, testing year, hard year. Of course, y'all knew about Vicky's cancer. Lord touched her, healed her. Praise the Lord for that. And it was a miracle that he worked in her life, in our life. But he still works the miracles. Hallelujah. He does it, and we're rejoicing. And that's not the first one he's ever done for us. And I'm sure it won't be the last. Amen. But anyhow, thank the Lord for those that pray, those ones that put us before the Lord, keep us before the Lord. A horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Amen. And I can tell you time and time and time again out there on the roads, traveling the roads, averaging about 35 to 40,000 miles a year. heaven only knows. The angels have been scratched up and tore up and banged up trying to keep us safe. Amen. But anyhow, we thank the Lord for his goodness. We'll be up in Virginia next week, preaching up there for Brother Mark Wright at a church there in Patrick Springs. Always look forward to getting to go there and to be with them folks when the Lord brings it together. We're in Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter number 17. And I heard about I seen our brother come in, and I heard it reminded me of a story years ago. There's a couple guys that traveled and sang as Don and Earl. And Don and Earl traveled all over the country. They weren't preachers, but they preached in their singing. And they did recitations and all that kind of stuff. Just everybody always loved to hear them come. And they'd try to hold tent meetings and stuff like that and evangelistic meetings. But anyway, they were somewhere in a meeting and the attendance was way off and something was happening. There wasn't nobody showing up. And they were trying to do a live radio broadcast out from under that tent. And so in order to try to throw some enthusiasm into it, and they were broadcasting live, Don said to Earl, says, "Look over there, Earl," said, "two more's pouring in." Amen. Our brother, they just poured in, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house, amen. Matthew chapter number 17, very familiar story. Pick up our reading in verse number 24, says, "And when they were come to the Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? And he saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, And what thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom and tribute, of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go down to the sea, cast in a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them for me and for thee." Let's pray for just a moment. Father, thank you for another time to be here at the Heady Mountain Baptist Church. And thank you for all the blessings that you send from on high. And Lord, we appreciate our Bibles. Thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word. In the next few minutes, Father, it's our prayer that God, that you'd help us to be able to convey this thought in the early part of this year, that we might be able to use it, Lord, to build on through the year. And we'll thank you for all that you do. And we'll bless it and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Well, this year's going to be an unusual year. We all feel it already. And missions giving is going to be something that you're going to have to deal with throughout 2021. We are hearing all kind of stories about possible, you know, changes in the economy and you know, the money markets, and people are warning about this future chaos coming in and that future chaos coming in. You know, when it comes to God's people giving, amen, It's always been something you have to work at on a daily basis, amen. Anyhow, I titled this message, God Funds Obedience, amen. I was showing the preacher a story on my phone. The director of our ministry just sent it, and the early the founding fathers of the state of South Carolina, Rutledge was one of the founding fathers there, and of course, I'm not going to read the story. I'm not going to go there. But the story goes that he's telling a story about a hunter crying over a dog that got burned up in a fire. Now, this is happening back in the 1700s, okay? And as a matter of fact, Rutledge was one of the signers of the Constitution. Right. He's telling the story that this hunter had this dog that was so well trained that whatever he'd done, he told the dog to do it, the dog would do it. And so he's in the woods hunting with his favorite dog that had always done exactly what he told him to do. He set his lunchbox down, and he told the dog to stay with the lunchbox, guard the lunchbox. And he goes off out in the hollers, back in the woods, hunting without the dog. Well, as a forest fire comes up, and the dog burns up in the fire. Amen. And so Rutledge says whenever he's talking to this man, the man's crying over this dog. He says, I knew he would do it. I knew he'd do it. He's always done everything I've ever told him to do. Amen. You're talking about that dog staying there with that lunchbox, burned up and died with it, you know, amen, all because he told him to do it.
Amen.
Well, you know what the Lord told you and I to do, amen?
Yes, sir.
Great Commission, we're told to get this gospel to the uttermost parts, amen?
Amen.
To every creature. We're told to do it. And so here we got a little example of the Lord meeting the needs in the life here of Peter. Now, a little quick example of the of Matthew chapter 17 and verse 24, or verse 27, I should say. He says, thou Simon. You know what? The getting the gospel around this world is a personal responsibility. Amen? It's a personal. It requires personal involvement. Now, you don't just get involved in missions because your church is involved in missions. Amen? You're involved in missions because you are giving to that offering plate to help the church get involved in missions. There's people sometimes, I had a pastor one time say, some people wouldn't give a dime to see a gnat eat a bale of hay. Now that'd be a pretty big challenge, amen, to see a gnat eat a bale of hay.
Amen.
And some people willing to pay a dime. Amen. But anyhow, the illustration's there. He said, thou Simon. So getting the gospel out is a personal thing. He said, go thou, amen. So there's personal instructions. Hey, not only am I told what to do, but I'm told to do it. Amen. Personally, he said, to the sea. Now, the sea is, Peter's familiar with the sea, amen? And so it's a place of interest or involvement. Amen? And then there's also, he said, cast in. Now, you can know what to do, you can know where to do it, but until you do it, you're still just a bystander, amen?
That's it. Amen.
That's all you are.
Amen.
And so cast in. So there's a, you know what that requires for fishermen? My wife and I passed a pontoon boat. He was headed toward Kiwi as we was heading out. She said to me, she says, oh, no, he ain't going to the lake with a boat. And I said to her, I said, he's a fisherman. I said, he's going to the lake to fish. He ain't going boat riding. Now, I'm not one of those that would say go to the lake on Sunday and fish. You know that. But the truth of the matter is that guy loves fishing so much, he's going to put on four layers of clothes and get out there and sit in the middle of that lake in 30-degree weather in hopes of catching the fish, and he ain't the least bit hungry.
Yeah.
But he's a fisherman.
But he's a fisherman.
Amen? So and you know what that requires every time he throws that hook? Faith. Amen?
That's good.
Because that fish ain't obligated. That bait ain't got to work. It requires faith. Now, anyhow, and then he said, the first that comes up, you know, the fish, the first that comes up. Man, you know what the Lord's always wanting on our part? He's wanting the first, amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. If you ain't give God the first, you ain't got involved in missions. Amen. What I mean, that belonged to God already. And so if you give God the first, then after that, you know, you can get involved in it. And then he says, thou shalt find. You know what I've had to do now for 41 years since God saved me and put us in the work of God and got involved in world missions? I've always had to look. Where is that money going to come from? Amen. Now, there's a resource out there. It's available somewhere or another. There's a guy named Bill. I can't think of his last name. I can remember Bill because that's my name. Amen. But there's a guy out in Maine, outside of Portland, Maine, there, Grace Baptist Church, and he's a caretaker. If he's still alive, he's a caretaker of that church. But Bill works night and day, taking care of that school and that church, the properties there, keeping the buses running and all that stuff. But he also works a night job down on the beach during the summer months, cleaning up the beach at night. The government there, the county ordinance or county commission or whoever, they pay cleanup crews to pick up the trash on the beach every night. So the next morning when the trash throwers come in, they got clean beaches to litter. And so anyway, what Bill does is he goes down there every night and he kicks up all the aluminum cans, all the beer cans and all the Coca-Cola cans and all the Pepsi cans. And he loads bags and bags and bags of cans during the night. They pay him to do it, pay him so much per bag. And then he brings those bags of cans back to the church and the big old building back there. He goes in there, he packs that building from back to front. And I was up there with him one day, and he raised that garage door. My thing was just ready to fall out the door. It was so full of bags of cans, crushed cans. And he said to me, he said, Brother Billy, you know what that is? And I said, what is that, Brother Bill? I said, that's cans. And he said, no, that's missions. He said, that's where I get my money for world missions right there. I sell them cans, and that turns into money, and I give to get the gospel. I said, hallelujah. He's looking.
Amen.
He's looking for it, amen. And then there's, he says, that give for me and for thee. You know, the Lord's always going to provide for you when you take care of him, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You can't outgive God. I promise you that. And so anyhow, there's a story here. We're covering the story. And simple little truths. It's the only mention of a fish being caught with a hook in the Bible. Amen. And then also, there's the Sea of Galilee. It's a place, that word Galilee, it means the circuit. What goes around comes around. Amen. Y'all know how the Jordan flows down, goes into the Galilee, and the sea is just constantly circulating like this before it dumps out and goes on down into the Dead Sea. And so anyway, you throw something out in that sea and it floats there long enough, it'll go all the way around that sea. Amen. And so life comes in. Hey, listen, life goes on. Amen. And then that fish that Peter caught. Just the thought of that fish that Peter caught, it just speaks of God's ability. Amen. The ability of God. I'm telling you, that little old lunch didn't have but two fish in it, but it fed the multitudes. What was it? What was it required? It just required God. Amen. To make it fit. Just break it and give it. And they were all left there full. Matter of fact, there's a guy named Jonah, and he didn't want to do the will of God. God had a fish, the Bible said. We know it was a whale, but God had a fish. You big as God, you can call a whale fish all day long. You not miss it. Matter of fact, he said he's just a little old goldfish, you know. But I'm telling you, hey, listen, that fish was enough of an education for Jonah to change his direction, put him back on course to Nineveh. Amen. And so that fish speaks of God's ability. And the Hebrew boy said, he's able, amen. Paul said, now to him that is able. And so thinking about this thought here concerning God funding obedience. Now, when you get saved, there's some instruction manuals for for being a Christian and living the Christian life. I won't go there, but Philippians chapter 4, verses 9 through 20, you could run there and read the personal instructions for a Christian. And I just give you four thoughts on that. There's always examples to follow. Thank God today, when I got saved, Brother Bill, there was some godly men that were good examples for me to follow. Amen. I learned from them. And they taught me how to live for God. And they was good examples. And then also, there's always opportunities out there. Amen. There's opportunities. We let opportunities slip through our fingers all the time. We look for them. And then we also, the need for me to give supersedes the need for the missionary. I'll give you an example. Brother Zurich here. I said it right or wrong?
Zurich.
Okay. Yeah, I tried to make you a Zurich is a city, ain't it? Zurich. All right. It's close to great, but it's got a... There you go. All right. But anyhow, he's a missionary headed to New Guinea. And he's on the road doing deputation, trying to get that personal support up so he could be in New Guinea and do the work that God sent him. You know, the need for people to give to support his ministry is greater for them than it is for him. You realize he could get on a plane right now, go over there, and God would feed him and take care of him and do what he needs done. I mean, listen, God could take care of him here in the States, take care of him over there, couldn't he?
Right.
But God's going to give you an opportunity or give a church's opportunity to get involved in helping him, amen?
That's good.
As they let it go by, they don't get involved, God's still going to take care of him.
Amen.
He'll get him there. He'll pay the bill. Amen. But if it's the will of God, he'll get him there and he'll pay the bill. And listen, for a long time, when I first went on with Victory Baptist Press, I had to travel the roads on the weekend, had to go home Monday through Friday, sometimes through Saturday. I worked at Lowe's doing installs. I mean, I installed kitchen doors, windows, whatever they had to be done, water heaters, whatever needed to be done, I did it. Paid the bills, went back out Sunday, Saturday, traveled and raised money as the Lord raised our support up and got us to the place where we was able to stop doing that home but you know what? If I had to, I'm still capable. I could go back tomorrow. But thank be unto God that people got involved in helping, amen, helping us do what we do. So when we send the Bible somewhere, it's not just me, it's them involved in it together. Amen. So the need to give will supersede the need of the receiver. And then God is the source of all of our giving. You can find that when you look through those texts. Verse 19 of Philippians 4 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. Now let me say to you first of all about this thing about God funds obedience. Let me say first of all, God uses obedience. Now, he's not interested in rebellion. He ain't interested in somebody being a rebel against his will. Amen? Was it Saul? He said it's better to obey. Samuel said it to Saul. Better to obey than a sacrifice. You know, Saul getting all nervous, Philistines. And so I'm going to run down the earth. I'm going to offer the sacrifice. Samuel ain't here to do it. Wasn't his job.
Amen. That's it.
So he overstepped his bounds. He got involved in something he shouldn't have got involved in.
Yep.
Then he suffered the rebuke, amen,
yep,
of the man of God when the man of God got there.
That's right, brother.
And he made all these excuses, but he was still wrong, amen. And Samuel just said it's better to obey than the sacrifice.
Amen.
You should have waited till I got here. Didn't matter if I was 5 days late, you know.
That's it.
Wait till I get here. God uses obedience. Let me read you a few verses. Hebrews 5, verse 8, "Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience to the things which he suffered." Talking about Jesus Christ, amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." God uses obedience, amen. God uses it. Well, I sure want to be found guilty of being obedient, amen. Doing the will of God from the heart, the Bible talks. To be obedient means you've got to have a duty assignment, right? When I was in the Army, standing ranks. There was you'd stand there for sometimes hours. I mean, I've seen soldiers fall out, you know, locked at attention because the DI just kept on walking by and kept on walking by and kept on walking by, you know. Well, we'd all rather been somewhere, you know, mopping a bathroom or cleaning garbage cans or something other than just standing there in full dress uniform and ranks. But we were waiting for a duty assignment. The last assignment was a titch up, you know. That was the last assignment. We stood there. Now, to be obedient means that you got to have an assignment. Let me say there's two people in this world. There's the lost and there's the saved. Amen. You can divide the world's population up into two categories, lost and saved.
Amen.
If you're lost today, there's one duty assignment for you. The Bible says you're to repent.
Yes, sir.
That's the duty assignment.
Amen.
How do you do that, Brother Billy? You see, you're a sinner. Mm-hmm. Confess you're a sinner.
Amen.
Amen? That's what you do. He said then, let me just read the verse here. I ain't going to misquote it. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Amen.
Yes.
Now, as a sinner, lost and undone, you're commanded to repent.
Right.
Acts chapter 17, and verse 30. It says, "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." So, hey, listen, April 27th of 1979, Florida Town Baptist Church, Pace, Florida, at an old-fashioned altar, I was obedient to that still small voice.
Amen.
After the preaching of the gospel message, and praise be unto God, I got on the right side.
Amen.
I got in the other group. Became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, once you're saved, there's other duty assignments for you. And take your Bibles real quickly and run over to 1 Peter, if you would. Amen. 1 Peter. And we're going to be looking real quickly at chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but you can pick up reading and verse number 9, and you can follow that on over through verse number 21, and you'd find the duty assignments of a Christian, okay? And let's say, first of all, you're assigned the first duty assignment for a Christian is we're to show forth praise, amen? I'm telling you, they should never get to the place in our hearts where there's not a praise for what the Lord's done for you and what He's done for me. I'm assigned that duty as a child of God is to praise my Lord and my Savior. That's a duty assignment. And then in verse number 11, I find another duty assignment that I'm to abstain from fleshly lust. I'm to get separated from this old flesh and what it likes to do.
Amen.
That's what I'm supposed to do. Part of my duty assignment as a Christian, amen, became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things become new. Amen. I'm to separate myself from fleshly lust.
Amen.
And then the next duty assignment as a Christian is I'm to secure or build a testimony. You can see that in verse number 12. Amen. Hey, listen, you can be a good testimony or a bad testimony. You're going to be one of the two.
That's it.
Amen. I really don't want to be a lousy testimony.
Amen.
Unfortunately, I got to report sometimes I've had been.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more times than I really want to admit.
Amen.
But the goal is to be a good testimony, secure a good testimony.
Right.
We're epistles read and known of all men, the Bible says. And then in verses 4, verses 13 through 15, one of the duty assignments of a Christian is to submit to authority. Wow. That's a tough one to chew on right now. But that's what the Bible teaches us to do. And then at verses 16 through 18, I see the Great Commission, having a part in serving God through the Great Commission. And then verses 19 through 20, we find that a duty assignment of a Christian is to suffer joyfully. Amen. And patiently. put your big boy britches on and, you know, put up with it. Amen. Amen. That's what it comes out to. So we've got duty assignments that are assigned to us, and we can't be obedient unless we're doing what we're instructed to do. And so God funds obedience. Amen. God uses obedience. And I can't emphasize that enough. We'll see somebody sitting over there that's just dripping with personality and dripping with talent and dripping with all kind of abilities. Well, they can preach, they can teach, and they can give, and they can go, and they just, you know, they're educated and all that, and they just sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there. And then here's somebody over here, they're pretty lacking in their wisdom, and they're pretty lacking in their charisma, and they're pretty lacking in all the other abilities, but all of a sudden, God's reached over and using them.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because they're willing to be obedient.
Yeah,
amen.
That's good.
The night I surrendered to preach, Harry Nix was preaching that night, and he preached a message on the gospel that was preached unto Abraham. And the whole gist of the message was God had a man. God had a man. Well, I'm on the altar that night. I'm telling the Lord, Lord, brother so-and-so, you need to help him see he's got a call on his life. You know, I'm telling God that brother's got a call on his life, you know, and that he needs to just make it plain to him. He'll do, you know, what he needs to do if God just make it plain to him. And then God spoke my heart and he said, I ain't calling him, I'm calling you. I'm telling you, that'll make you stumble and slumber and stutter and everything else. But what was it amounted to? Amen. God uses obedience.
Amen.
Amen. Well, every time Paul got out of jail, he could have said, well, I'm going to retire. But you know what he done? He just refired is what he done. He just refired. And so, we've all got duty assignments. God uses a duty obedience or uses people that are obedient. And we've all got duty assignments, and let me say to you, some duty assignments come at the time of the least means, amen?
Yeah, that's it, brother.
There's times when you're broke and you can't rub two dimes together, and God's put some kind of burden on your heart.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, why didn't that come whenever the bank account was full? Why didn't that come when all the cars were running like they were supposed to? Why didn't that come when the bills were all paid and we weren't behind? Why did that not come, that assignment not come when all the children were wealthy or were well and healthy? Now they're all sick or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes those duty assignments come at the worst times.
Right.
Amen?
Yes, sir, brother. Bless you, God.
But, you know, that old widow, she's got that one pot of oil. Amen? And I'm telling you, her and her boys, you know, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
That creditor, he's on his way. He's fixing to foreclose, and he's fixing to take them boys for that debt that's owed. You know the story.
Oh, yes.
Now, Elisha could have told her, go sell that pot. But that's not what he told her to do. He said, you go borrow empty vessels. Why in the world do you want to borrow empty vessels? Because you're going to let God work, amen?
Amen.
It took God's working to make it work. And so she got those pots, borrowed not a few, you know. And she kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring. And now all those pots are full. And you know what? She still got her full pot. Amen. And she's going to go sell that oil. And Elisha said, you and the boys live with the rest. Amen.
Amen.
So, well, she could have said, ain't no way I'm going to go borrow pots, empty pots, and I'm going to just, I'm going to figure out my plan. Elisha, your plan ain't going to work. Well, I'm telling you, God's plan don't always have to be your plan. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And so sometimes the largest duty assignments come in whenever it seems like you got the least means.
Right.
I'm telling you. It does. That old girl, she's fixing to fix her last meal, and her child is going to eat and die. The man of God says, fix me a biscuit or fix me a cake. She cooks that little cake, and you know the story there. They all eat. They all eat till it's over with. Amen. Why is that? Because she was obedient. That's what she's doing.
Hey. Yes, sir.
Hey, so anyhow, God uses obedience. Now, let me say next of all about obedience. You know what time obedience is? This right here, this little thing right here, I laid it on the Bible here so I'd remember what time it is. My wife says sometimes I can get long-winded. I don't know about that. I think she's just being critical. But anyhow, the one thing about time for obedience is time of obedience is always now. Amen? I got grandsons. I got granddaughter too, but grandson's worse. And it was children too. You tell them sometimes to do something. Now in their mind, they're thinking, I'll do that tomorrow. But I want them to do it right now. Okay? And so they probably intend on obeying me, but it's going to be at their time, not my time. And usually when my kids was coming up, that usually meant a trip to the woodshed, which we didn't have a woodshed. It was just just good whooping. Because they didn't do what they was told when they was told to do it, you know. Well, I was going to do it, you know. Well, you didn't do it when you was told to do it. How many people are missing out on the blessings of God because God has told them to do something and they plan to do it? They plan to do it.
Yep.
But they just ain't done it. They just ain't done it. The time of obedience is always now. He said, go thou to the sea. Now, Peter could have said, Lord, I'll go next week. I got my schedule ain't as busy next week. Lord, you know, I got this to do, that to do, the wife, the mother-in-law, we got all this. You know, Lord. But no, he said, go thou. And the way I see it, Peter turned around from facing the Lord and went out the door, found him a hook, found him a pole, and he went and done what he was told to do. Amen? And so the time of obedience is now. Old Ben Gona. I met Ben Gona a long time ago. And I'm sorry, sometimes I become a Ben Gona. I've been going to do this and been going to do that. But I'm telling you, Ben Gona ain't never done nothing.
Amen?
He's just Ben Gona. And so anyhow, Paul wrote to the church there at Corinth in chapter 9 and verse 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, there whereof you had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as covetousness. He's telling the church, hey, listen, y'all get it all together like you told to get it together. You know, don't wait till I get there. Get it up before. Now, if I'm not obedient, whenever I'm supposed to be obedient, it'll delay me. Amen.
Yes.
It'll delay me from accomplishing the will of God.
Amen.
In my life. If I'm going to be obedient, it demands that I do it. World evangelism depends upon it. Frees up tomorrow for whatever tomorrow is going to bring. It fulfills my part of the Great Commission at the moment when I'm obedient.
Amen.
Amen. It fuels a fire revival in my personal life that might spill over on somebody else good. Amen. Why, it fights the devil and all of his cohorts and crowd. Amen. If I'm obedient. And it forwards the filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. If I'm obedient.
Amen.
Amen. So the time of obedience is always now. Amen. Always now. And then let me say, Obedience is also allows for an overage. What do you mean by that, Brother Billy? Well, he said, for me and for thee. Paid Jesus' tribute plus Peter's. For me and for thee. And I'm telling you, well, it's a blessing from on high to know where my sufficiency comes from. Amen. Because, you know, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The Bible teaches that. You can't outgive God.
Amen.
And to have the blessings of God on what you do have in your wallet as opposed to having the curse of God on it. You know what I'm saying? Amen. So obedience always allows for an overage. I used the illustration about the widow and the barrels of oil and then the one that fed Elijah. And the food and the meal barrel never wasting, and the cruise of oil never wasting, and it always allows for an overage. And I'm telling you, to have the blessings of God, to see the blessings of God, I marvel at what He does.
Amen.
In the life of me, in the life of my wife, and just as being a Christian, it's exciting to see how we can live, amen, of the overage. Can I tell you a quick story? When Vicki and I got saved in 79, we had just built a new home, and we were in debt up to here. I mean, we were paying last month's bills with next month's paycheck. We were way behind, working from can to can, you know. Well, we've been trying to sell that house. We'd had it on the market, built that new home. And we determined right away that we can't afford this. And so we put her and put it with a realtor, tried to put it on the market, tried to sell it. And anyway, nobody come, nobody looked at it. And then lo and behold, in the midst of all that, we got saved.
Amen.
Okay? When we got saved, that was on Thursday night when I got saved. Saturday morning, the pastor came of the church came over to my house, our house, sat down at our dining room table, which was really, if I remember right, it was a patio table. It wasn't really for furniture for the house. We were so broke, we didn't even have furniture in the house. We was using a round metal patio table, you know, for a dining table. And he sat down at that table with us, and he started talking about what we needed to do. Get us a good King James Bible. Amen. Need to start a prayer life. Get a prayer life going, you know. Need to join the church. Need to follow in believer's baptism. Then he said that other ugly word. He said, you need to start tithing. What? What? Yeah. You know, 10th of your income. Write you a tithe. He said, God bless it. God bless it. Well, that was Saturday, the next day's church. Guess what? Sunday morning went in there. We wrote a tithe check and put it in the offering plate. I ain't bragging on Bill Richburg. We just done what the preacher said to do. We didn't. And literally, we didn't have that money. But it went in. It went through the bank. Some other things probably didn't, but it went through the bank. But you know, the scenario of it all, it was in no time. We had a buyer for that house. We had paid all the debts that we owed. And me and her was completely out of debt. You say, how'd that happen? Whew, we serve a big God. That's what I'd tell you. We serve a big God. It's just a personal experience, but hey, obedience allows for an overage. That's what it does. Okay? And so whenever the preacher tells you that, you can say, well, Brother Billy Richburg, he brought reference to that too. It happened in his life. Amen. Now thank God for that overage.
Amen.
That overage. God is able. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work.
Amen.
Peter took that piece of money. He went and paid the tribute for Jesus, then turned around and paid his own tribute. Amen. And he's probably thinking, when the Lord going to send me back to catch another fish? Amen. So I'm telling you, we went by the post office yesterday, and we pulled in, and there in the mailbox was two more tax bills. You know, you get those two. They come in the mailbox to your house. There's two more tax bills to the local government telling us we need to pay this or we need to pay that for that right there. You know, something that belongs for us, to us, we got to pay the tax. You know, when you was a kid, you read that little story about the troll that wouldn't let people go over the bridge without paying the toll. Remember those little stories? I didn't realize those were true stories. You know, I thought that was just somebody's imagination. But here I am, you know, 69 years old, and I learned a long time ago those nursery riddles are true. Amen. You think you own that home? You just quit paying them taxes on it. Amen. You think you own that car? Just quit paying them taxes on it. You'll find out who owns it. With all that said, obedience allows for an overage. You know how those bills are going to get paid that come in yesterday? Same way all of those got paid for the last 41 years. Amen. We're just going to keep doing what God told us to do. And when we do what God tells us to do, there's going to be enough tagged on the end of it to take care of what I need to do. Amen. And so God funds obedience. Well, it's time for us to park this and get out of the way. But let me just remind you, hey, you can't outgive God. Vicki and I, we thank y'all from the bottom of our heart for the years that's gone by that y'all have helped us. Amen. And we rejoice at any time the Lord lets us come back through this neck of the woods. We rejoice at it. Amen. To be able to see you folks and spend some time with you. Do keep praying for the Victory Baptist Press and keep praying for Sister Vicki and I. As 2001 gets kicked off, that we'll just be busy doing what the Lord wanted us to do. Amen. Father, thank you for your truths of your word. I ask you, Father, to take it, hide it in our hearts, and let us use it for your glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.